Tomorrow is primary election day in Wisconsin. The polls are open from 7 in the morning until 8 at night. By the way, you can find out what's on the ballot and where you can vote by visiting myvote.wi.gov. The headliner in tomorrow's race is a tight Republican campaign for governor between millionaire businessman Tim Michels, former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, and State Representative Tim Ramthan. Clayfish campaigned with former Vice President Mike Pence last week, while former President Donald Trump came to Wisconsin this weekend to hold a rally with Michels. Trump also took aim at State Assembly Leader Robin Voss and endorsed his primary opponent. On the Democratic side, the primary for U.S. Senate cleared up a lot ahead of Election Day. The top challengers to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes dropped out and endorsed him as the candidate to take on Senator Ron Johnson in the fall. We're checking in on the top races in the state ahead of tomorrow's Election Day, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about these races in tomorrow's primary? What is on your mind? If you are a Republican voter, what are you thinking about in this tightly contested race to run against Tony Evers for governor? Do the endorsements matter to you from former President Trump, from former Vice President Pence, from former governors like Scott Walker and Tommy Thompson splitting their votes on that as well? What are you looking forward to in the fall on either of these high-profile races? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. David Cannon is a professor of political science at UW-Madison. He's editor of the Election Law Journal and affiliated with the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you, Rob.
Well, the big mystery tomorrow, I think, is going to be who comes out on top on the Republican side of the race for governor. What are you seeing in this race? Kind of heated.
It is a very tight race. So we had the Marquette poll in late June that showed them within a couple points, and then this Emerson poll came out over the weekend that had Clayfish up by 2 points, which is within the margin of error. But there still was a 14% undecided in that most recent poll that was, again, over the weekend. And that's a pretty high undecided percentage for this point of a campaign. And so they're quite a few voters, I think, who are just tuning in now and trying to figure out what they're going to do in this hotly contested election.
I want to give a listen to a couple of big, high-profile, national-style politician endorsements. Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish held a campaign event with former Governor Scott Walker, and here, former Vice President Mike Pence, who formally endorsed her in the race.
And I am confident the people of Wisconsin know that your next governor needs to be a proven conservative who has stood in the pocket for Wisconsin in the past, and that's Rebecca Clayfish.
And this weekend, Tim Michels held a rally with former President Trump, who endorsed him and attacked Clayfish.
Tim's opponent in the primary is Rebecca Clayfish, a career politician and a political insider. Known her for a long time. She's the handpicked candidate of the failed establishment.
Okay, two big names spending time here in Wisconsin. Do you think these endorsements matter, David?
Well, I think Trump's endorsement definitely matters. He's weighing in on a lot of primaries around the country and has had a fair amount of success in getting his endorsed candidates to win the Republican primaries. He had some failures, especially like in Georgia and some other states. But the Emerson poll that, again, I referred to this conductor over the weekend here in Wisconsin, asked specifically about how much the Trump endorsement had an effect on their decision to support Michels or Clayfish. And over a third of the respondents to the poll said that they were were more likely to support Michels because of the endorsement. So 49% said it made no difference, but then 11% said they were less likely to support because of Trump, and 39% said they were more likely to support Michels because of Trump's endorsement. Now, the other endorsements from Pence, Walker, Ted Cruz also endorsed Rebecca Clayfish, and then Tommy Thompson, somewhat surprisingly, endorsed Tim Michels, I think, because Clayfish is seen as more of the establishment Republican, and Thompson certainly has traditionally been in that wing of the Republican Party. So that was the one endorsement I think that was a bit surprising.
I'm on email lists for lots of political groups in the state. There are a lot of accusations. The other side's lying. They're cheating. There's a lot, some bad blood here. But we've seen this in Republican national races before. Ted Cruz took a lot of hits from Donald Trump, ended up supporting Donald Trump. It seems like they could probably get together. Nobody's going to end up voting for Tony Evers, probably, if they're on one side of this or the other.
Yeah, there definitely will be some, I think, you know, bruised egos and some ruffled feathers in the campaign, especially among the campaign insiders. This has been a pretty heated battle. In contrast to the Democratic, you know, Senate primary, where, as you noticed in your lead-in piece, that the field basically cleared for Mandela Barnes, and that campaign never went negative. It was really pretty remarkable for a, you know, statewide race like that, with that significant of a nomination at stake, that didn't go negative at all. But here on the Republican side for the gubernatorial primary, it really has gotten pretty dirty. But I think you're right that the party has had this tradition of pulling together, and you would imagine that the losing candidates will end up endorsing the victor on Tuesday, and they'll focus on trying to beat Governor Evers in the fall.
Talking to David Cannon from UW-Madison and the Elections Research Center there, looking at tomorrow's primary day elections. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Jake is with us in Appleton. Jake, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me. Just want to make a quick comment here. As a generally conservative voter, I'm definitely underwhelmed with Clayfish. There's something just about her feels kind of fake or just very, very shallow. I've been around her before in previous engagements, and similarly, I think Michaels just hasn't divested his business life enough to my own interests of even considering him as a viable candidate. And to be honest, I think our current governor has done a pretty good job overall during his tenure as governor. There are a few things I'd like to see him focus on with the Department of Natural Resources and some of the surplus money we have as a state. But overall, I'm actually going to be making the switch this time and staying team Evers. So just wanted to throw that out there. Thanks,
Jake,
for having me.
Thanks for the call. Jake identifying as Republican, saying he'll vote for Governor Evers, approves of him. People like that exist when we look at the polling, but I think Jake would be fairly rare in Wisconsin, David. I don't know.
No, I think you're right, Rob, that if you look at polling in Wisconsin, voters really are pretty locked in their partisan lanes right now. And that we've seen that in the last couple of election cycles where you don't have as much crossover voting as we had seen, say, 10 years ago in Wisconsin. And this is true nationally with the parties being more polarized than they've been before. And the extent of, you know, split ticket voting where you'll vote, you know, say, you know, for the Republican in the general election for the Senate, and then you vote for the Democrat, you know, for the governor in the general election, you just hardly see that anymore, whereas that was fairly common even 10, 15 years ago.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Liz joins us now in Eau Claire. Liz, hi.
Hi there. What am I supposed to do with my radio?
Okay. I can't hear it, so go for it.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm calling about the 3rd Congressional District in Southwest Wisconsin, currently held by Ron Kind, who is retiring. This is pretty heavily contested with 4 applicants, candidates. And frankly, the Democratic Party in this area was really disappointed when Representative Kind, who I respect totally, endorsed one of the candidates. And our state constitution very clearly says that we don't endorse prior to the primary. And this is to give everybody who wants to be a candidate an equal chance. A little bit disappointed in him.
Liz, thanks for the call. Liz set it up nicely there for Democrats running to replace Ron Kind, a Republican, Derek Van Orden, already pretty much locked in, Republicans hoping to flip that seat currently held by a Democrat. Liz, disappointed. I honestly hadn't seen the news that Congressman Kind had endorsed one of the candidates running to replace him. Your thoughts on that race, David?
Yeah, it definitely is the most contested of our 8 congressional districts here in Wisconsin. The others are not seen as being really up for grabs, but that one definitely is, because it is a very split district in terms of its partisan leanings, a very competitive district. And Ron Kind was able to hang on to that district by being a very moderate Democrat. But it's a part of the state that could easily flip to the Republicans in a year that nationally is supposed to be favorable to Republicans, especially given concerns about inflation and the other issues that Republicans are trying to push in the midterm elections. Now, on the other hand, the kind of wild card here, I think, in Wisconsin is how people respond to the overturning of the Roe v. Wade decision. And especially we have on the books the pre-Civil War law concerning abortion. And that's become an issue in quite a few races. We've seen it brought up in both the gubernatorial and senatorial primaries and some of the House primaries as well, and in state legislative races. So that is kind of the wild card here in terms of how much that could affect turnout in the fall. Now, for the primary, there's no difference between the four Democratic candidates in the third congressional district on that. They're all pro-choice. And so that won't, I think, have a big impact on that primary election. But that could be something we'll keep an eye on in the fall.
Thanks for that call, Liz. We are previewing tomorrow's primary elections in Wisconsin with UW-Madison political science professor David Cannon. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the divides in the Republican primary for governor? How about the Democratic race for Senate? Do you wish more leading candidates had stayed in to make it more of a contest? What about efforts to unseat Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, by fellow Republicans, including former President Trump? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with UW-Madison political science professor David Cannon, previewing the top races in Wisconsin's primary elections tomorrow. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're voting in the Republican primary for governor, who has your vote and why? Or is it still a coin toss for you? Trump endorsement, Pence endorsement, do they matter? If you're on the Democratic side of things, how do you feel about the other candidates lining up behind, most of the other candidates lining up behind Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes for U.S. Senate? Call 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, David, this development just over the last week or so, an attempt to unseat Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in a primary campaign. His challenger got an endorsement from President Trump. Michael Gabelman, the former state Supreme Court justice who Robin Voss hired to investigate the outcome of the 2020 elections, turning against his employer, basically endorsing the primary challenger. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a very unexpected turn of events for sure. I mean, that I don't think anyone saw that coming, to have both President Trump weigh in in a state legislative race and then have Gabelman actually run an ad against Robin Voss. It's really a very remarkable turn of events. Now, it seems to me that Voss is secure enough in his district that I would be really surprised if he would end up being unseated. But who knows? And, crazier things have happened, that's for sure.
And the issue of November 2020 and the elections there still a big part of this race now being talked about, election integrity. One candidate for governor, Tim Ranthan, still saying, hey, we need to overturn the outcome of the presidential election in Wisconsin, which you can't do. How is that a worry for Republicans? Do you think that that's going to loom over a general campaign after the primaries are done?
Well, right. I think this is something that Democrats are hoping they'll be able to use against some of the more extreme Republicans who end up getting nominated and talk about decertifying the election. See the same thing in the attorney general's race on the Republican side. I think at least one and maybe two of the candidates there for attorney general in the primary have also called for decertifying the result of the election, which, again, you cannot do that. And so I think this is something that some Republicans are worried about, that if you have nominees who are staking out a position that's so clearly on the extremes, that could harm their chances of winning in the fall.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Jack is with us in Milwaukee. Jack, hello.
Hi. I am a Democrat, and I don't see the reason that I should waste my vote in the Democratic primary. Wisconsin has a rich tradition of crossover, but I don't hear anything about that, and I'm wondering why I shouldn't vote in the Republican primary. And I'll get off the air to listen.
All right, Jack, thanks for the call. Jack does not have a heavily contested, say, congressional primary going on if he's voting in Milwaukee. So, I don't know, Democrats But on the other hand, if Democrats wanted to be strategic in the governor's race, who knows what that would mean?
Well, right. And this is really interesting, actually. I've talked to some people just in the last few days who are going to do exactly the same thing that Jack's doing, and Democrats were going to vote in the Republican primary. But I hear two different theories. You have some people are doing what the Democratic Governors Association did in several high-profile races like the Maryland governor's race, where they actually spent money on behalf of the Trump-endorsed candidate, thinking that would get the weaker nominee on the ticket that they could then beat in November, which is exactly what happened. And they did this in Arizona, some other states as well, where Democrats are like openly backing and telling Democrats to vote in the Republican primary to elect the Trump-endorsed candidate, thinking that gives them a better chance of winning the general election. But then I hear some other Democrats who are saying they're going to do this strategic voting in the primary and vote for Clayfish, thinking that, you know, if and thinking that Evers has, you know, might lose, and they want to have a candidate they think would be, you know, better than Michaels from a Democratic voter's perspective. So, yeah, it could cut both ways. And I haven't seen any polling to indicate this is going to be a large percentage of the electorate. But you got to believe there's going to be at least a few percentage, maybe up to 5% of Democrats who will end up doing that. And we'll have to see if that ends up playing a role in the outcome of this election or not.
Thanks for that call. Melanie joins us now in Adams. Melanie, hello.
Hi. I'm calling because I was trying to voice my opinion. When it comes to Clayfish, I think she's just been in politics too long. Some things kind of fishy with her husband. I've emailed her, talked to her about things. I am pro-life. I'm a chair for the right to life for my county. And we would really like to see a heartbeat bill passed in Wisconsin. And when I asked her about that, she really didn't have a straight answer if she would support something like that. I think Michaels is more straightforward. He tells it how it is. And when it comes to Van Orden, Derek Van Orden, I'm definitely voting for him. He also agrees with term limits in Congress, which, I mean, let's be honest, we got some of these guys in there that are near 90 years old that have done nothing but politics and worked in government all their life and never had a real job like the average Joe.
Melanie, like, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. David, one selling point for Melanie for Michaels is, and this is his campaign is doing this, I think former President Trump did this, outsider candidate, not a lot of time spent in politics.
Right. Now, it is something that has resonated with Wisconsin voters in the past. If you look at our track record of electing people to very high office who don't have previous experience. So Herb Kohl, for 18 years in the Senate. Now Ron Johnson, also one of our current incumbent senators who had no prior political experience before being in the Senate. So I think we do tend to have at least some sort of favor that we give to people that don't have political experience sometimes, especially in times like this where I think people are kind of fed up with the status quo. It ends up being a way of kind of a protest vote against the system. And so I think there are quite a few voters like Melanie who really are supporting Michaels because he's not a politician.
Thanks for that call, Melanie, at 800-642-1234. Talking to David Cannon from UW-Madison, previewing tomorrow's primary elections in Wisconsin. Back to your calls. Mark is with us in Mineral Point. Mark, hello.
Yeah, hello. So I did not cross over into the Republican primary list, although it's disappointing that the Republicans haven't put up anybody or nobody stepped forward to oppose Ron Johnson, especially considering that he's now admitted that he's going to push to cut Social Security. He didn't frame it exactly that way, but we know from his past record that that's what he wants to do, not to mention his support for overturning the election and other completely extreme positions. So I guess the Republicans are happy with Ron Johnson, but I think he's going to lose to Mendel Barnes.
Mark, thanks for the call. Mark, David referring to Senator Johnson in an interview saying not that he wanted to cut Social Security, but he wanted to take it off of the mandatory funding and put it up for kind of congressional negotiation each year to be renewed. And that, I think, will be the subject of many a campaign ad from his opponents.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's something, you know, Social Security is often referred to as the third rail of politics. Like, you touch it and you die. And so, and that, yeah, you really don't want to mess with Social Security. And that, so it really is kind of a head scratcher why he would bring that up at this stage of the campaign. But Mark makes a good point just generally about Ron Johnson, that nationally he is seen as the most vulnerable Republican incumbent that's up for re-election this year. And so one thing we'll definitely see in this election is a huge amount of outside money coming in, both in support of Johnson on the Republican side because they know he's vulnerable, but also on the Democratic side being opposed to Ron Johnson. So this will be a very high-profile Senate race nationally.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. David, let's wrap up by looking ahead to November. Now, it seems like probably Lieutenant Governor Barnes will be the one challenging Senator Johnson. TBD, certainly on the Republican side, challenging Governor Evers. What are the big themes you're going to be watching for as we come out of tomorrow's primary?
Well, one thing is clearly the state of the economy and whether inflation gets under control. I mean, I think those are the big things right now that Republicans are really pushing. You know, we had those back-to-back quarters that had the drop in GDP. That's the technical definition of a recession. But then we had this really strong jobs report that shows, you know, unemployment still at a 50-year low and creating over 500,000 jobs in the last month. And so the economy seems to be really robust by that measure. And so which direction the economy goes, I think, will have a big impact on how big the losses are for the Democrats in November. Because in these midterm years, the president's party always takes a hit. The question is, how big is that hit going to be? And I think, you know, here in Wisconsin, our races are both going to be very, very tight, that all the polling, you know, shows them within the margin of error at this point. With Evers, you know, whether it's Michaels or Clayfish, both those are within the margin of error. With Ron Johnson, Barnes is like up, you know, 2 points in some of the polls I've seen, but also within the margin of error. So these will be very, very close elections.
David, thanks again for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
David Cannon is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's editor of the Election Law Journal and affiliated with the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. He joins us today for a final check-in on the races in tomorrow's primary elections here in Wisconsin.